Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer in New York City. And I'm sitting up here on my bright red desk on the Upper East Side. And I am joined by my friend Mark.
Mark Wolfe, also in Manhattan, but over on the west side. And happy to report that in the snowstorm recently, we went out and built a snowman in Central Park.
That sounds like fun. I like that.
It was perfect snow for a snowman.
Yeah. A snowman in Central Park. That's kind of romantic. That's very nice.
Yeah.
You and Eileen did that. Very cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds like a nice romantic thing to do on a nice snowstorm. And our third is Heather Roan Robbins, who hopefully will be calling in from the road. And she is in North Dakota or Minnesota, moving back and forth between one from one to the other. So what we're going to do is what we do every week is we talk to you about the weather and what it feels like and how it shows up and what the energy is going to feel like in the sky. And then we take calls from the listeners. And we also had a letter from a reader or a listener. He wrote in with a question. So we'll answer that kind of too. And I learned a new trick from Sue the other day, Mark. Apparently when the people raise their hand on the switchboard, that means they want to get called. They want to get picked up. And if they just are sitting listening quietly and they didn't press the one, their hand isn't raised. How cool is that?
Oh, I see.
I never knew that. And the other thing is when you click on the on-air button, it lets them continue to listen, whereas when you click on the hang-up button, it drops them off the line and they can't hear you anymore. So thank you for Sue for my illuminative email, because apparently we hung up on her. I didn't know. But, I clicked the hang-up button rather than the I'm always learning something. So when they raise their hands, that means that they want you to call on them. The blog talk radio, it's a wonderful thing. So,
right.
Yeah, so who knew? The illuminations never cease. So anyway, we're going to talk about this week's weather. And so what did you notice about the upcoming week? And happy President's Day, almost Mardi Gras, and happy day after Chinese New Year's and Valentine's Day.
Right. Yeah, all of that wrapped up together.
All in a big bundle.
Yeah. The big thing we were just chatting about was this Neptune-Chiron conjunction, and we were trying to figure out if we'll be around for the next one.
Nope.
And I'm optimistic. But.
And I'm out of here.
Yeah.
How old are you going to be in 80? You know, what we were talking, we always have a little, like, review before for the listeners. And the next Neptune Chiron aspect is in 84 years. So I will be 55 plus 84. I'm out of here. By then I'll be drooling all the time instead of just when I sleep. How old are you going to be in 84 years? Don't even tell me. You're going to be and you want to be alive?
Yeah,
wow.
I know. I don't know, but, one thing I know, I won't remember this one anyway. So it's a moot point. I won't be able to go, well, kids, you should have been here for the last one. In the old days.
Back in the old days, right.
Yeah, 84 years ago. No.
So the next one's in 2094. And when you write that, when you type that out, it feels like a very long time away. So, and the last one was in 1945. And, people are now doing math in their head going, but that's not 84 years. And Chiron is elliptical. He has an elliptical orbit because he gets affected by Saturn and Uranus. So when he hangs out near them, he doesn't go as fast because he kind of hangs in there near them and they interfere with his speed around the sun. So sometimes he goes really quick and other times he goes slowly, depending on who he's near. So he then links up with, Neptune's pretty steady paced, slow moving, 164 years around the sun. And when he hooks up with Neptune, that's when we mark this as the new conjunction. So the last one was 65 years ago, and the one before that was 81 years. And the one before that was 56 years, and then 84 years, and then 56 years. So it's kind of a funky little aspect there. So, So what did you think about it? What do you think about this big conjunction in Aquarius?
Well, it's kind of nice that it's happening in Aquarius because that easy to figure out, especially early on. So this conjunction will be part of our homework for going into Aquarius. And, you know, we got to remember we're going to be in the age of Aquarius for a couple thousand years. And so we want to figure out what to do with it. You know, don't waste time. Right? We got a few lifetimes to go through it. So we might as well start knowing what we're doing. And I think that the Neptune Chiron conjunction will help teach us something about that. And what it'll teach us is how we can learn something spiritually from our experience and from the experience that comes to us in a way the hard way, the lessons we learn the hard way, making mistakes or, having to sort of fumble along the way. That's the kind of thing. And there's a spiritual lesson in that always. And if we can look at that Neptune Chiron working together, they're sort of informing each other of that. And they're doing it now in an Aquarian way. So we're going to learn how to learn our lessons and apply them spiritually in this Aquarian way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm looking for. And Anne, you looked up a bunch of historical stuff.
I did. I actually was I was working on my column last week, and I thought, you know, I'd looked up the 1945 stuff, and that one was, Japan surrendered, the last conjunction, which was September 3rd, 1945. And, you know, we knew we had bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki, but we didn't really realize what we'd bombed them with. At least most people didn't. You know, obviously the people that built it knew. But that then shifted our vision. You know, we were aware of the fact that we could destroy the Earth and all of us with it.
Yeah.
And what a nuclear weapon was. We never had that before. Our collective wisdom, our mythology shifted. That suddenly, you know, someone could harness the atom and control the power. And so that was one of the things. And also going into South Korea and, kind of a vision thing. And then when I looked back at some of the stuff, you know, there was the first cash register was installed. The first town was electrified by Thomas Edison, the whole town. So all the candle makers go, Napoleon became the dictator of France. They discovered the Rosetta Stone, which allowed the hieroglyphics to be translated. The smallpox vaccination, Neptune rules infections and plagues, was introduced. And smallpox used to really kill a lot of people. The first income tax was introduced in the United Kingdom. The U.S. Congress passed a system of weights and measures, a standardized system, in the last conjunction in Scorpio. And the first regulation of insurance companies was written. Thomas Jefferson was born in the one in Cancer, and he grew up to be the inspired leader saying, we have the right to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. He was actually born on the conjunction, the day of the conjunction. The song Handel's Messiah was performed for the first time, and we still sing it. And it was written back when Jefferson was born, that same one. The first town hall meeting in America took place in Boston's Faneuil Hall. And Ben Franklin invented the Franklin stove, which meant women could cook on a stove rather than bending over the fireplace and catching their skirts on fire. Oliver Cromwell died on a conjunction. He died before it, and it basically kept the protectorate from going through, so the Stuart monarchy was restored in England. So the queen was kept, and that was on when it was in Capricorn, which kept the authority. The authority did not, the dream of the authority didn't go. Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard were discovered, and the first public library was opened at Oxford to the public. So it's kind of an interesting energy. You know, it says expand your vision, see things differently, but at the same time, be aware that there's a cost to it. Or there could be a loss to it as you do that expansion. You're going to see it differently, but you're also going to have a shift. And I'm sure if I'd gone back further, there would have been things like the Earth was round and stuff like that, that were those major, major shifts. Whereas humanity, we looked at the world in a different way. So this is a once every 84-year cycle. We don't get a lot of these people. And when we do, it's a big deal. In my case, it's right on my Pluto, and it's in my first house. So I'm like, ooh, 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 you know, let's figure out what are my dreams for the next 84 years or subset thereof, and how do we pull them into being. So the other thing is the new moon that we had 2 days ago on the 13th is right next to this conjunction. And tomorrow, on Tuesday, Venus and Jupiter join in Pisces. And, you know, they both love being in Pisces. Venus is exalted in Pisces, and Jupiter is very happy in Pisces. So they're starting a new two-year cycle about dreams. And then we've got this 84-year cycle starting about our vision and our mythology. So we also want to watch what happens in the news this week and see if we can identify the life-altering thing that's going to come in and change our direction and change our vision of things. And I think one of the states said they were a nuclear state. Iran did. That was one of them. But I'm looking for something a little bigger. So it'll be interesting. So kind of one of those interesting weeks on Earth with all this energy flying around. So.
Yeah. Wow. It is nice. Venus conjuncting Jupiter.
Yeah.
That always feels nice. Little over the top sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, watch your credit card.
Yep. Yeah. Actually, I mean, it's tomorrow, and I am having a spending day. I know I'm spending like $350. I mean, I knew it was happening, but I'm like, okay, it's a spending day. No, and I'm spending it on things I, you know, would like to spend it on. So it's not like a bad thing, but at the same time, it's like, oh no. Yeah.
Well, and it's good you've already made a plan.
I have a plan.
Yeah, because the Jupiter-Venus conjunction sometimes will catch us without a plan, and we get overconfident.
And we spend the money, and we go, oh, my God, how much money did
it
spend?
Come from, but,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So we can kind of overdo it.
Right.
You want to watch out for that. So if you can plan ahead, go ahead and be extravagant, but according to plan.
I did, and I've been scrolling the money away because I knew this was coming. So I was like, okay. Although I did order something that I think is going to be more expensive than I ordered, because you know I ordered it and then I said, oh no, it needs to be a little longer, and then you know, and then the person emailed me back and said, oh, so it's going to be this long, and I'm like, okay, and I'm thinking it's probably going to be like almost twice the cost, but I don't have to pay for it today, so. But it's Venus Jupiter. It's buying something that, you know, costs, is beautiful, that you love. It's this opal necklace that a friend of mine does opal beading. You know, he does beading with precious stones. So it's an opal necklace. And I'm making it longer.
Well,
yeah, that means more opals are required, right? You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can work that out.
Yeah, hopefully he'll give me, you know, like a little discount, you know, because I went, he goes, well, it's usually 18 inches, but I'm going to make it 26 because I wanted it longer. And, you know, and then I was thinking about 18 and 26, that's another 8 inches. So it's probably going to be like a third again as much, but whatever, you know, life is short and I haven't bought myself anything nice. It's my Valentine's Day present to myself.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah, you know, better than flowers, it's not going to die, so.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Really fresh.
Yeah. So, well, anyway.
Every 84 years.
Every 84 years, buy yourself a necklace. So we actually have a busy week this week. We do have Valentine's Day. We did have the Chinese New Year last Sunday, on Sunday, which is the Year of the Tiger. And then President's Day is today. And then tomorrow is Mardi Gras, or Shrove Tuesday. Mardi is Mars's day, and Gras is fat, so it's Fat Tuesday. Fat Mars's day, and then Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and then we have the Jupiter-Neptune conjunction, and then the Sun goes into Pisces on the 18th. And it's a busy, busy, busy week. The Moon is in Pisces today, the 15th, and then tomorrow it's void all day long, so it's kind of a void Moon, do things that are restive and refreshing and kind of replenish you. And then Wednesday and Thursday is kick-butt days because the Moon's in Aries with a great closing aspect of a sextile to Neptune. And then Friday the Moon's in Taurus, Saturday the Moon's in Taurus. Not a great closing aspect, got a square to Neptune, so it can be an overdoing energy again. And then on Sunday the 21st, We have a void moon in the morning, and then it goes directed to 1:47 in the afternoon East Coast time. And then it's in Gemini, and Gemini has a nice closing aspect of the moon trine Neptune. So we're dealing with a lot of Neptune, basically, this week. Everything's talking to Neptune. And if we know that, then that helps us understand that there's a little bit of a lack of clarity, but at the same time, there's this kind of porous openness. And, of course, that does mean we're going to have more snowstorms and or rain. And I guess they do have a forecast out for snow this week because Neptune makes the fluids run. Plus, Jupiter's in Pisces now, so he's in a big guy's in a water sign making water. So I think it's good. And when the moon goes,
We do have that yod also this week.
Oh, right, the yod on Friday and on Saturday and Sunday. Yeah, you want to talk about that?
Saturn at the apex and Sun and Mars in conjunct. Yeah, and that's going to bring up responsibilities and, you know, the finger of God is one that is really hard to solve in the moment. And it really, whatever planets are involved, those are ones that we're meant to pull together. And it's basically an assignment. But it's an assignment that we somehow we're missing some of the pages, you know, so we have to figure it out. And so we have that sense that, oh, I'm supposed to do something with this. And but I don't have the full instruction book. How am I going to get this done? And so it's a little bit irksome and, you know, has us kind of worried and flustered. And yet there's a kind of underlying excitement because there's a feeling that, well, if I have this assignment, then it's something I get to do once I figure out how to do it. And so this one involves Saturn with Mars and the Sun, and that's largely a matter of looking at what is our will, what is it that I intend, what is it that I want to do to take action to use the energy that I have, you know, in a really outward way, but to do it responsibly and to do it in a way that establishes something and that is concrete and practical and real and is done with some sense of authority and that fits with any authority outside of me. So in many ways, it's a call to step up and, you know, throw our energy in the right direction. And we just have to pick what is that project? What am I meant to do and do it responsibly? So we'll have a sense of that this week, that that's what I need to do. And yet it's not, in a sense, like ready just to grab the handle and use it. We still have work to reshape it. And, you know, so we have that coming in. You have any other thoughts on that, Ann? The yod?
Yeah, what I always remember with yods is the whole concept of being in the moment with them, because there are three planets that are arguing with each other at, you know, and they all want to do things their way. And they're in different signs, and they're in different modes, meaning ways of behaving. So in this case, it's Mars in fire sign, and then he is talking to Saturn in air sign. So the two of them are cooperating because they're in a sextile to each other, and then they're both in conjunct to the Sun in Pisces. Now the Sun in Pisces is kind of a visionary placement. It sees the soul. It, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's our musics, our artists, our visionaries are all Piscean, or very often Piscean. Many of our great musicians are Pisces people. And what they do is they help us see the future by their art or by their collective, they kind of channel what's going on in the stratosphere and they bring it down to earth and they go, okay, this is what's going on. You know, this is the vision. And we all go, oh yeah, art, cool. You know, whether it's rap music or, television shows, you know, when, for a long time there was the TV show Friends, and that was when Uranus was in Aquarius, which is the sign of Friends. And then when it went out of Aquarius, the show got canceled, you know. So, like, the television shows are even run by the planets or influenced by the planets, not run. We don't run them. But so when the yod happens, what it does is it says, we don't get along with each other. We're just not that cooperative. And kind of like carrying a heavy table, you know, you have to go, okay, 1, 2, 3, let's lift, and everybody moves together. That's how you have to do that unity to get a yod to work for you. Otherwise, it kind of sits there and argues with each other and says, no, I want to go left. No, I want to go right. No, I want to go left. So if you get the yod cooperating, it's a very powerful energy because it has a sextile and it has a director. And in this case, the sun in Pisces is the director. And he can be a little befuddled, but on a good day, he can be very positive and really focus people in the right direction. So it's a... And in this case, it's Mars retrograde and Saturn retrograde. Both are the working parts of the yod. They're the people that are doing the lifting. They're working it, you know. So when we see that, we go, okay, so what are they doing? How are they living in the moment? Recognizing that on some level they can't really plan for whatever this is. But at the same time, they're creating a new reality as they carry the heavy furniture or move this stuff around the room or whatever they're doing. So there's a moving forward, but it has to be cohesive and everybody has to work together or it doesn't happen. So I kind of think that the whole healthcare discussion has been kind of a giant cosmic yod.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, okay, so... You know, are we going to pull it together? Are we going to, you know, let it die? What are we going to do with it, people? And that kind of energy is like, we, you know, can we cooperate or are we going to be obstructionist and argue? So,
well,
and
that's what got called today. The guy from, what's his name? Senator Bayh. Decided he's not going to stick with the job any longer because there's too much divisiveness and, you know, people are not cooperating.
Right.
Not putting it together. And in a lot of ways, he's sort of reading that yod and just saying, you know, we have to decide what we want to do and figure out we're the ones that have to do it. So let's find a way to make this work.
Right.
And he's saying there's not enough of that attitude to make things work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's giving up on it.
I mean, he's quitting?
He's not going to run again.
Wow.
He was supposed to, and he, like, is, you know, if he would just go with the program, he's, you know, pretty well set to win his seat.
Mm-hmm.
And he announced that he's not going to.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
He's from, is it Indiana or Illinois or, I forget now. But anyway, he's, that's kind of a big thing that came out today.
Wow.
And I think in a lot of ways that expresses the energy.
I've just had it and I'm not in the mood to fight anymore. You know,
yeah, I don't see a way we can pull this together. It's
right.
Really, you know, it's not happening, folks. That's what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, let me go do something where I feel I can get something done.
Right, right. That's
working with these clowns, I don't feel like I can get anything done.
Right, right, right. Well, the, you know, kind of the obstruction, it just feels very obstructionist to me. It's like we're just going to say no for the hell of it because we can, as
right.
opposed to offering solutions and figuring out how to get something accomplished. There's no discourse anymore. And I have to say, you know, since I discovered that goddess of discord, I wish they would rename her. Since Eris was named, you know, people just don't get along anymore.
Yes.
There's just a lot of arguing, you know, and it's like, can we maybe rename her so we have, you know, peace and quiet and cooperation instead of this just digging our heels in and being obstructionist for the sake of obstruction? But, you know, if we rule the world.
Too many volunteers to represent Eris, right?
Right.
You know, like, oh, I'll do that.
I'll be Eris. I'll argue for the sake of arguing because, you know, I can. And I always find, you know, when I was you know, I had a boss when I was younger, really, really good Sag guy. I'm sure he's a Sag. I don't know for sure, but he feels very Sag in my memory of him. And he was always like, it's totally fine if you have a problem with something, but you have to offer a solution. You can't just say no. You know, you can't just go no, 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 because that doesn't help. It doesn't do anything except stop action. And that's not how the world works. You know, the world works by everybody, you know, figuring out how do we work together or how can we get this moving. So he was really good at that. You know, like you could go in and complain to him about whatever, and he was totally cool with it. But then what he would say to you is, so what do you want to do about it? And then, even better, he would appoint you to be the one in charge of doing it. So you would go in and you complain about something, and he'd go, great. I think that's a really good idea. You're in charge of it. And then you would kind of go, okay. And you couldn't just complain. You had to actually do something to fix it. And it really worked very well, except at some points you would really question whether you wanted to complain, because you'd be put in charge of the solution if you were the complainer. So it was
right. So you wouldn't complain unless you thought you did actually see something to do,
or you wanted to do it.
Yeah,
exactly. You couldn't. You didn't. Couldn't just complain for the sake of complaining, because then you would be put in charge of fixing it.
Right.
And it worked really well. You know. So then people that were really passionate about stuff and mad about it, or upset about it, or didn't want to do it, or whatever, they would get the job of fixing it. And then if you complained about them, then you would get the job of fixing. You know what I mean? It was kind of like there was always a ready candidate for the work, and you couldn't just complain by yourself. You had to actually do something. You know, you weren't allowed to just complain. You had to fix it or do something about it. He was like a Virgo dream boss, I tell you. Because you could complain, and he would say, well, what would you like to do to fix it? And you'd tell him, you'd say, okay, go ahead and do it. You know, if it was in his purview to give you permission to do it, you had his blessing, and he got an enormous amount of stuff accomplished too, because he really blessed the process.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it was a sales organization, so they were a mouthy bunch. You know, so we all would, you know, argue and say and he'd go, okay, well, you're in charge, fix it. So maybe we could do that. Make that be the new rule,
right?
The new rule of how Congress works. You can't just complain, you have to fix it. So.
Right.
But I don't know. So yeah, so anyway, we have the lovely moon in Aries, which is high action taking, and in Taurus, which is a little slower moving but does get things accomplished. And we have the conjunction, and we have the 84-year cycle starting. So we have a lot of energy flying around out there. So you want to stay tuned and see if you can see the life-changing vision thing that's happening this week, that actually is going to be what we look at and we say, okay, that's the new vision coming in, you know, the equivalent of Ben Franklin's stove or Napoleon appointing himself dictator, you know. something major is about to happen that we're all going to go, wow. So I think it's kind of cool. So I'll put the phone number out for people that want to call in. And our number is 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881. And we had a call from, we had an email from Bill, which I will find. And I pulled up the wrong thing because I clicked a little too fast on the clicker today. Yeah. Sometimes I'm a slow clicker, and other times I'm a fast. So the finger of God's going to ask you what direction you want to head in, and the conjunction's going to say to you, okay, what's your vision for the next 84 years? And the new moon next to it says, okay, what's your vision? What's your vision, people? Your vision, what's your vision? So it's very big. It's kind of a cool cool week when we have a week this active. Of course, I'm not. All right, messages. I think I found the right hole. It's like Bill.
Remember, the square pegs go in the square hole.
I know. Well, you know what it is? It's like one of those screens, and it doesn't respond immediately.
Oh,
but
it
kind of... All right, it said Bill has not entered a description. All right, well, I want Bill's message. That's what I want. Oh, man. There it is. Okay. Dear Access Astrologers, I am curious what the anticipated effect is of the Mars retrograde on the current Afghan offensive. Is it also true that Mars is currently retro in the U.S. progress chart? Yes, Mars has been retro since 2006. Also, Iran's declaration of itself as a nuclear state this week. Is that Chiron Neptune? Yes, because we bombed Hiroshima, and that's Japan surrendered. So Iran saying they're nuclear, that would be a Chiron Neptune. And how does that appear in Iran's chart? Thanks so much for letting me ask my multitude of questions. That's from Bill in Virginia. So, you want to take the Afghan thing, and I'll look at Iran's chart.
Yeah, take a look at Iran's chart. The Afghan thing, you know, normally we would say to military people, if you want to launch an offensive or a new program, retrograde Mars is not a great time to do it. That's normally what we would say. But we weren't asked. They went ahead, and so the next thing we have to do is say, well, what will happen, right? It wouldn't have been our first choice, but there is something to be said for the retrograde Mars with this particular conflict, because it has a history. And so if you start up something new, you're also addressing something old. And so there is a kind of retrograde quality to the action anyway, because, you know, you're taking care of what hasn't worked and you're trying to redo an effort. And that goes along with the retrograde Mars. And then the other thing is that when Mars is retrograde, it does slow down its forward push and kind of mucks it up and, you know, it gets stuck in the muck and has trouble going forward. And, you know, that's why we would sort of say, well, wow, why do you want to do a military thing on that? But on the other hand, if this is something that's going to take a while, to have the initial stage of it be with a retrograde Mars can actually help, because it can point out the weaknesses and it can show where the sticking points are and where things are going to get stuck. And so early on in the campaign, it's possible then to sort of rejigger everything so that it will work. You can see the problems. You can troubleshoot with a retrograde Mars. And then when Mars goes direct, you've kind of taken care of things that weren't going to go anyway. And Mars will go direct in early March. I think it's the 10th, you know, so to spend a couple of months sort of going in circles to get organized is not such a bad thing. But what it ends up being, I can say, that the early part of the campaign is likely to meet difficulties and setbacks and sort of have to be, like, replanned and re-put together. And then once it is, and that kind of kicks off with a direct Mars, then it'll go forward. So actually that's one thing that, you know, we could advise is, like, go ahead, do a lot of troubleshooting, see what's not working right, and then as of March 10, do something that sort of gives it a kickstart, start it over, and it should go at that point. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's kind of the Afghan story.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I would add to that in his case with the Mars Leo, you know, Mars right now is in a finger of God with Saturn. Actually, on the new moon, when they announced this puppy, there's a key finger of God. There's two fingers of God in the sky. And fingers of God are fated points. You know, when we see one get triggered, you know, there are big deals. So we had, like, Princess Diana went out on a finger of God. It isn't always death and destruction, but sometimes it is. And in Christopher Reeve, his accident happened on a finger of God getting triggered. So when the finger of God is active in the sky, we take fated decisions, or we make fated, or we're asked to make fated decisions. So there's two yods in the sky on the new moon, which is when they announced this offensive. Of course, they went in on the dark moon because, you know, that's when you invade places. And the odds is Venus, Mars, Saturn, and then Mars, Pluto, Venus. So those two fingers, and they share points. So they form what's called the W Yod key in the chart, which makes the four planets, Venus, Mars, Saturn, and Pluto, work as kind of a, you know, they're kind of like a little bundle thing in there that, you know, they're kind of all arguing with each other simultaneously. So, no, not a good thing. Plus, Mars retrograde, you know, it's not great, not a good time to do it. But, you know, at the same time, you know, nobody asked us, so. But it is fated, you know, and who knows? Maybe that's the Neptune will be in Afghanistan for the next 84 years. Because this was the, you know, we're also coming up on the Neptune Chiron aspect. And Afghanistan is a Chiron country. They have a very strong history of being invaded and never being conquered. And they were the ones that drove Russia to bankruptcy. So remember, we have this huge debt that we're spending even more money in Iran on, or Afghanistan on. But the key, the double Yod key with Mars, Saturn, Pluto, Venus, and Venus is the head of the one Yod, which is peace-loving, which is nice. And then the Mars is the head of the one with Pluto and Venus, which is not so good. So Pluto says, we're going to conquer you, you know, we're going to take over your land. And Venus says, we're doing it because, you know, I don't know why, what Venus and Pisces would be. Oh, I think the pipeline. That's the pipeline, right? Afghanistan's got the pipeline running through it.
Right.
All right, so Venus and Pisces is the oil, and we're, you know, we're fighting with these people because why? You know, again, you know, ship the stuff in a tanker. I get so impatient with these people.
Right.
Don't do this. So anyway, so that's the new moon has two yods and a double yod key, as well as a bunch of cranky aspects. So we're probably going to be in Afghanistan for 84 years if it doesn't make us go bankrupt. Because it is involving Venus, and we could lose all our money and die. Well, not die.
Well,
but,
we'll
know.
Lose the money before 84 years.
Right? Yeah, that's for sure. And also life. They were sending 15,000 people into this town. And I'm like, what? What? What are we doing? What are we doing here? But we're in, you know, and it's like, are we in or are we out? So, at any rate, make me crazy. All right. Bill, you ask good questions, honey, but sometimes they make me nuts. Okay. I'm like, All right, and now we look at Iran's chart being a nuclear state. Iran, the current republic's chart is April 1st, 1979 at 3 p.m. in Tehran, which corresponds with, I don't have the notes here, but it's the chart either of, I think that's when the new government was sworn in, and the Ayatollah Khomeini came back, and, you know, the Shah got kicked out, and, you know, our puppet government in Iran collapsed. So then the religious government took over in 1979, and now they have declared their nuclear state. And yes, the answer is they are. And if you look at their chart, they're having Uranus on their Mars and Pisces in the eighth house. So they've had this little secret program that they've been working on for a really long time. And Venus, by progression, is on their Sun in Aries. So they now have a bomb, or they have whatever. They have it. And then the Venus by progression, the Sun, the progressed Sun by, is it 11 Taurus on the top of the midheaven. The Uranus to Mars, Venus to Sun, Sun in Taurus high, saying I've gotten what I wanted. They do have Mars in the 12th, so until they actually blow the thing up, which they're probably going to do before the Mars, they'll probably do it on the Mars goes direct because they have solar arc, or progress Jupiter at 1 Leo. So around March 10th, they should blow it up to show us that they have it. Damn. All right. Well, you know, we can't have one bomb and not have everybody want one. You know, it's kind of a...
Yeah.
I got mine, you got yours. You know, we all have to... What's it? There was a radio show I was listening to once where the guy was talking about squirrel nests. And squirrels build a standard nest. But when you modify the squirrel nest in one of the trees and you add extra stuff to it, all the other squirrels look and they go, gee, I want a deck too. And they add extra stuff onto their deck, onto their nest, even if they've never, ever done this before. But one squirrel in the neighborhood has it, everybody needs it. So it's kind of like that. One squirrel in the neighborhood has an atomic weapon, everybody needs one. So,
right.
Yeah. So they do have it, and it also is Uranus. They've been working hard on this, actually. Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, they should test it around March 10th, because Mars is in the 12th. And of course we're invading Afghanistan. So what are we going to do? Go, hey, you stop with your bomb there, you know? So, and their Mars by transit is in conjunct. Their Venus is in Pisces at 3 degrees Pisces, and they're having Venus on it. And they just had Jupiter on it saying, we got it, we got it, we got it, we got it. So they have it.
Oh, and Pluto sextiles it.
And Pluto sextiling it. They have now gotten their own little set of power there.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully they play with nicely with their bomb and they don't do anything nasty to Israel or anybody else. But they do have it. They totally do have it. And they're very pleased, I might add. And quite content. Yeah, I forgot the Pluto sextiling the Venus. Yeah, and Jupiter on their Venus. They got it.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And the midheaven is on their moon, so they're actually telling the truth. You got it. You can't make this stuff up. Astrology is so cool. So they have the bomb, and we're spending 15,000 people in Afghanistan and spending a lot of money, and not passing health care here in America. So I'm a happy.
Right.
I'm happy. All right.
Pay
so
your taxes.
Pay your taxes and buy bombs instead of Band-Aids. All right, so the call-in number is 347-215-8881, and we're going to take some callers. And hello?
Hi.
Are you there?
Am I on?
You're on. Hi, who are you?
Should I say my name?
Yeah, you don't have to. You know, you're calling with a question.
We won't tell anybody.
We won't tell anybody your name.
We won't tell anybody who's not listening. Only the people that are listening will know.
Yeah.
Okay, so my name is Veronica.
Okay.
And I was wondering about kind of the year ahead. I had gone earlier in the year to an astrology seminar, and I heard that there was, a potential for loss in the coming year, and I kind of had been preparing for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of at the time thought it would all be very external to me, and I'm now in a situation where I feel like I have some choices to make that can change kind of the future a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't exactly know what to do.
Okay. Well, give us your birth chart, your date, time, and place of birth.
November 19th, mm-hmm. 1974.
Okay.
At 7:36 a.m.
7:36 a.m.?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In Brooklyn, New York.
Brooklyn. Okay. Brooklyn girl.
Yeah,
we love Brooklyn.
It's just down the road. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right, Veronica. Yeah. So the question is, what's going on with you in terms of loss and stuff? Or is it more of what your choices are?
I guess a combination of both. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. So you are a Scorpio, right? And
mm-hmm.
right now you're having Neptune aspecting your sun. So you're starting a new 84-year cycle around your thoughts and how you think about things and around your beliefs about things, because that conjunction that we were talking about earlier is taking place in your third house, saying to you, well, what do you believe? What's really important to you? You're also about to have your Jupiter return, which happens every 12 years. And so you are starting a new 12-year cycle because your Jupiter is at 8 Pisces. And then next year, kind of in the fall, really, you start a new 12-year cycle around your career. But when you have your Jupiter return, if you think about when you were 12, when you were 24, and now you're going to be 36,
mm-hmm.
what that starts is each of those are kind of your phases of life from Jupiter's point of view. You know, first you were the youngster, then you were in your middle passages. Now you're a young adult, and you're starting the next 12 years of Jupiter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's big for you because you're a Sag rising, and your Venus is in Sag, and your Neptune is in Sag, and your North Node's in Sag. So whenever Jupiter comes around to himself again, your chart goes, woo, it gets all excited, and it goes, okay, I got some choices to make. I got some visions to come up with. I have to come up with some new ideas for what I want.
Mm-hmm.
So you're really, it's a major year for you. And you're right. You know, you're feeling like you're making choices, and you are making really big decisions. You're an 84-year cycle starting in your making decisions house.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm kind of up against is I feel like some of my decisions could alter people around me, and
yep, they will. And are you upset about that, or you don't know if you want to do that?
Yeah, I guess I'm not sure if I should take the responsibility or just try to keep things the same.
Well, you know, Scorpios like, you know, one of the things, Scorpios like to keep things the same, but they like to kind of change things too. And
I feel really torn with that right now.
I know. I can see it in your chart. Yeah. So when we see that, we say, okay, so you really want to change it, but at the same time, you know, there's a part of you that's going, oh, you know, if I do that, then this is like, and then that, and then this and the other. But you know what? You're ready to change it. You know, it's not working. And if you change it, you're coming up in the September, October time frame to a new 30-year cycle starting, okay? So a lot of this is also releasing old patterns and stuff that don't really work for you when Saturn comes to join your Pluto. And there was a thing like last fall where you kind of got to a point where you said, you know, I don't really know that I want to do this anymore when Saturn was on your midheaven.
Yeah.
And you don't really want to do it anymore, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I guess then, I just wonder, like, how much, you know, in the fall I was kind of thinking, well, I could maybe really just change the current situation if I, you know, make positive changes and improvements in certain areas. And now I'm just like, let me just fry.
Oh, right.
Just cut, you know. So.
Well, and you can. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can do, you know, and you are a very proactive person with your chart being Eastern. So you have an Eastern orientation, but you do have Saturn in the handle of – Saturn is – I would call your chart a bucket chart with Saturn as the handle at 18 degrees Cancer. And so that also is a conservative chart in the sense that it says, well, you know, it's kind of set up and it's da-da-da-da-da. But are you feeling like you're stagnant, stuck, and unable to grow?
Oh, you want me to answer that?
Yeah, or you don't have to answer it, but, you know.
Right, think about it.
Think about it, because that's really what this is about. It's about you having a growth spurt.
Right.
And maybe the other person isn't.
I just wonder, I guess, how, I don't know. Is it
how
just,
bad it's going to be?
Yeah.
It's going to be worse if you stay. The whole idea, it's kind of like, you know, when you have to kind of look and say, well, okay, I know this is this, but if I do this, then what happens? And for you, you know, because you are a visionary with the Sag rising, the parts of you that really are very connected and committed, you can still be very committed to this person, but you need to be free to give yourself permission to grow. And there's something in the way your chart is set up that it's hard for you when they're talking to you about how you can't change or you can't do whatever, and you really need to. And the reason I'm saying that for those who are following along at home is her nodal axis is angular in the first and the seventh. So you pull in these young people and you teach them what you know, and you have to say, okay, I taught you everything I can. You got to go fly now, and I got to go fly. I got to go find other people to have experiences with and learn and grow from. So I'll keep you. You don't have to dump them. You can keep them around. Scorpios usually don't get rid of people. They like to keep them. But change your relationship to them and come up with a new way so that you have a little more freedom. Because with Jupiter return, you're going to bring in people for the next, you're going to bring in a new clump of people for the next 12 years too. Because your chart really wants to start a whole new growth cycle. You know, it's kind of like you're getting, you know, you could Jupiter going in your fourth house is like you get a new pot of dirt with
that
a bunch of fertilizer and water, and you're going to grow. And they're going to go, wait, don't grow. And, you know, you have to grow. Right? Makes sense. Mark, you want to pipe in? I've been, like, a little long-winded here.
Yeah, you have a real tendency to keep trying to fix things.
Yeah.
And you know, to understand and to talk your way through it and, you know, use all that Gemini kind of stuff. And, you know, that's helpful to a point, but then you can get really stuck with it. And where you really make changes and make growth is when you look at things from a much bigger picture and take the lessons and pull them together, and, you know, that moves you toward Sagittarius. Mm-hmm. And as a Scorpio, you know, you are here to experience things on a deep level and to let things go. You know, metamorphosis is part of your life.
Yeah.
But it's always hard to do. You know, like imagine, you know, what it feels like to be a caterpillar changing into a butterfly.
Well, and part of my tendency, I don't know, is to get very fixated sometimes. Like if, you know, like if I can say very definitively, I'll never do this, or I'll, you know.
Yeah.
And then one day I'll come and I'll be like, whoa, I can't believe I'm about to do the thing I always thought I would never do. You know, but when I said I would never do something, I kind of thought it. And it was, you
yeah.
know, kind of firm in my head, but then my heart said something totally different. Or my, you know, in the moment, I found that wasn't the way I felt at all.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And you can just give yourself permission to take the action, you know, and with the people around you, you know, as long as you tell them, here's what's going on, I'm about to do this.
Right.
Are you with me or not? They have their warning. They
yeah.
see what you're doing. You know, you're not doing anything behind people's backs. You're just doing it quietly,
yeah.
but letting them know. And you're saying, I'm changing. I'm moving in a certain direction. If you want to be with me, be on the boat in the morning. We sail. And then whoever's not there, you push off.
Yeah.
You know, boat sail.
I guess between now and fall seems like a long time.
It is, but it goes
mm-hmm.
really fast. It's already the middle
mm-hmm.
of February. And in the fall, that's when the new life starts.
Mm-hmm.
So the changes you're making now are to support that new life starting.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't, you know, there's a big change when Mars goes direct on the 10th of March. We're going to know what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the Saturn-Uranus opposition the end of April that says, okay, do I stay or do I go? And that's in your fourth and your midheaven. So that's a big one for you about, do I stay or go? And you almost left in September. You just kind of, you know, you reconsidered.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have another opportunity in beginning of June when the Jupiter-Uranus join,
yeah.
saying, okay, I got to go now, setting off the cosmic crossroads. And then in July, we say, okay, where are you? And all the changes that we're doing now, and these dates apply to everybody. These are all kind
right.
of moments we're going to run into. But
yeah.
Mm-hmm. When we get to the fall is actually really quiet. Mm-hmm. You know, there isn't a lot going on because we're all in our new places learning our new things.
The calm after the storm.
The calm after the storm, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think Mark's comment to you about the, you know, knowing what you know, on an internal level, you do know what the right thing is for you. And that doesn't mean it has to be mean or hard or horrible. It just means you know what you need to do. And that's, we all know on some level, the hard part is, you know, agreeing to do it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So
I guess I'm still torn as much as I listen to you to how much I could just change my current situation to look way different by the fall or just get a whole new different circumstance come.
Well, it's understanding, you know, you don't have to. I mean,
right.
you know, we don't, there's lots of times, you know, I'll talk to someone and they'll be totally ready to leave and go and whatever.
Yeah.
And then they don't do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I had one client, and lovely woman, and been unhappy in her marriage for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I really thought she might pull the trigger on this time. She got really close at 14 years. She got close at 7. This was 22, and she couldn't do it, you know. And it's, you know, it's okay. You know, what happens is people go back, they adjust, they figure out things, they come up with a new way of trying it. They
but
live in a
like
different
turning
mode.
Your back on fate, or
pardon? Pardon?
Are you like turning your back on fate if you miss opportunities? Or
well, I mean, for her case,
yeah, it can be.
Yeah, it can be. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's, but that's a choice, and sometimes that's the choice people make. You know, it's we all have our we go we all have our charts, we all have our choices, and we all have our, well, what do we do next thing?
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Like in your client's instance, you know, how she made a different choice would the years ahead be more comfortable than having not made a certain choice? Are the years ahead more, is there more conflict, you know, and more tension and more frustration? Whereas if you're going where the wind blows you, like, are you just then, you know, in a happy, nice flow? You know,
I think that's the whole problem with Crossroads, is we recognize that when we pick one, you know, it's kind of like the Robert Frost poem, The Road Less Traveled. When we pick a crossroads, we make some choices, and that means other things don't happen.
Right.
You know, I think back on different people, you know, when I was younger and was getting marriage proposals, and my life would be very different had I accepted them, you know. And I didn't. And now I'm kind of was thinking about it the other day when it was Valentine's Day, and I was kind of going, well, you know, and then I thought, well, you did have some offers you didn't take people up on.
Yeah.
And we realize that the choices we make do have consequences.
Yeah.
And then we stand where we are and we say, okay, well, what would I like next?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's next for me? And you are at a major turning place.
I turn to astrology to help in some sense, though. Like, if they're saying, you know, it's so, the pull towards, you know, a radical beginning or a new, brand new change is so strong that
yeah.
I'd be like, you know, crazy not to go there. You know, like, I kind of look to see, like, you know.
Well, and what astrology does is it would affirm that you're at a crossroads, but it's also at a crossroads with Neptune squaring your sun. And your square to the sun says, you know, Scorpios like to hang on to what they have because it's a known deal. And, you know, they accumulate those little pots of money because, you know, it makes them feel secure. You have Saturn ruling your second house. You like your security.
Yeah.
You know, better the devil I know than the devil I don't know.
Right.
But Neptune squaring the sun says to you, but trust the process.
Mm-hmm.
Follow my North Neptune on my North Node. Trust that your instincts are right.
Right.
Get yourself the book Hope for the Flowers. It's a very good book. It helps, I think, at times like this.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's really nice of you. I heard you the other night for the first time, and I was, really, I guess, I don't know, intrigued and grateful for what you're doing. So thanks a lot.
Great. Thanks. Glad for calling, too.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
Have a fun night.
Thanks, you too. Okay,
happy Lunar New Year.
Bye. Yeah, happy new Lunar New Year. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Cool. Now I'm hanging up the way Sue told me to.
Oh, yeah. How did you
and it worked. It worked. She's still there listening. Oh, no, she disappeared. All right. I hope she didn't.
Okay.
Well, I don't know that I don't think I hung up on her. Maybe she hung up herself. Okay. Anyway, she's not showing as a caller anymore. I'll have to ask Sue about that. Apparently they have Blog Talk Radio training programs on Wednesday.
Oh, I.
Who knew? She took the live training. I'm like, you have live training? And she knew all this stuff I didn't know. So we have 2 minutes left. What would you like to tell our listeners?
Well, let's see. I don't know. I think we covered it.
And Heather on the road did not call in. We, you know, when she moves to Minnesota, we're going to have really good cell phone coverage. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Heather is a moving woman these days. She and her husband are moving from the North Dakota wilds to a little more populated land. But in the meantime, she's traveling through vast reaches of the Great West that don't have cell phone towers, which is probably good because the rest of us are all getting radiated. And she's not. So I open, so you get to close, because I think we should share, Mark. It's Valentine's Day.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Anne.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Access Astrology talking to you on Blog Talk Radio. And Access Astrology is three astrologers. There's myself, Mark Woltz, in New York, and Anne, also in New York.
Yep. Anne Ortley.
And,
mm-hmm.
Yep. And yep. Heather. As we said, in the Northern Plains. And you can look us up at astronyc.com. That's astronyc.com. And you can find out information about us, how to contact us. If you have questions, be sure to call in, or you can email us.
Like Bill did. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like Bill did. Ask us questions, and we'll have a look at the questions and answer on the next show. And, you know, with Blog Talk Radio, if you're not listening live, you can, to the live show, you'll be live, but if you're not listening to the live show, you can always pick it up on archive. Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks for tuning in.
And you can also come see us, Mark and I, we're live in person at East West Bookstore on 15th Street, 14th Street, and 5th Avenue every Tuesday night from 6:30 to 7:30, where we do a little live show in person and answer your questions. So bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.